Right, exactly.
I'm not sure we could spin it. I think we'd, you know, I think we'd have a hard time coming up with some kind of backstory. Even if it was a truck full of monkeys, we talked about that too. And no, we did. Because I see, you know, some people had this thought that if you let the monkeys loose and you could blame the deaths on Ebola. And and the thought that, I mean, okay, there's a lot of people thinking out of the box. I think that's a valid way to think, right? But then you'd have a real fucking problem. You'd have people dying from Ebola. It would be like, you know, people.
Well, they'd have to produce those bodies. Well, just like what they did with COVID. It was all fake with the TikTok videos showing people in China just falling down in the street. This was just all orchestrated. It was obvious to some, but, starting in January of 2020, and then, you know, just so many things didn't add up. And now that the vaccines are out and now that they've been in people's bodies for a year, you know, last year we started to see things, and now we're seeing more. They're getting sick, and then they have all these autoimmune diseases or cancers or you name it. But it's in the vaccine. Every story I hear is coming from a vaccinated person. Every unvaccinated person I hear either catches a cold or has a flu or whatever, and they're fine. A couple of days, they're sick, and they rebound as if normal, you know, anything in the past. But the folks that are vaccinated are having, well, the insurance numbers are showing it. You know, the life insurance numbers are showing it. And they can't hide that. They can't hide it much longer because every single person on this planet knows of at least one, if not a half a dozen.
So, well, that's the thing, right? The word, when a word is out on the street, the word right. is out on the street.
When you're saying, you know, when they're trying to say, you know, they're going to keep their foot on the pedal with this misinformation and disinformation and conspiracy theory. You are now up against people that know things as fact in their own lives. So the more they keep trying to say misinformation, disinformation, conspiracy theory, people that would have normally thought that in the past are like, yeah, no, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my mother, my father, my whatever. My child has myocarditis. And we know they bought into it because if you did get your child vaccinated, you bought into it. Now your child has myocarditis. Now you're hearing people say, oh, it's conspiracy theory and it's misinformation. And that person saying, no, my kid's sick. I did get my kid vaccinated and they're sick. So that's what you're competing with now. That is going to be very hard to put under control. And not for lack of trying. And I have to laugh because we see what they take down off of YouTube. And, you know, some people, they move to Odyssey or Rumble or BitChute or somewhere else. And that's fine. But you see what they take down off of YouTube. And I sent, did you have time to watch that 10-minute clip from Dennis Meadows?
It's fucked up.
You did watch it. Okay, good. I hope you could play some of it. Okay. Notice, Mike, why do they
leave that
stuff
up? Cat's all slick.
Your
cat's all slick about wrecking your life.
Oh, well, again, we discussed Club of Rome a long time ago. We discussed the report from 1972.
Was that only 10 minutes?
Sugar. That clip I sent you, I think, was like 10 or 11 minutes.
Seemed like it was an hour because I was like listening to it. I was like, is this guy saying this? Well, we got wanted to get the world population down to 1 billion or 2 billion?
One to 2 billion. And he said, and again, remember, he's a co-author.
That's a fucking wholesale. That's like, you're going to even need more than genocide. You're going to need more than genocide to get it down to 2 billion. I mean, my God.
No, well, he's very nonchalant about it because, like I said, he was co-author for Limits to Growth.
You know?
Well, they all are. Bill Gates, all of these people. When you look at it as a whole, all of these organizations that talk about depopulation, he says that we're not going to avoid a collapse. He says that he's hopeful for a peaceful, civil, slow collapse.
Well, you know, these Poindexters say that, but it never works out that way.
Well, no, I like when you said a slow collapse, more like a degrowth transition. My point is that they leave this stuff up. So when you call people a conspiracy theorist, you could go back to this stuff and watch it.
Maria,
their own words.
The average, it's right in front of your face. Average cement head out there, if they listen to, you know what, I'll play the clip. I'll clip it and we'll put it in. And this cat's from Club of Rome.
He was a co-author to the report that the Club of Rome put in 1972 called Limits to Growth.
Okay. But listen,
so
that yeah. interview, if your average garden variety cement head listened to that, they wouldn't know what the hell was going on. So they can leave it up and like almost laugh at people because it's even above the comprehension of most people. Understand, right? The people we talk to and we're talking to and are listening to us and watching us, they've come light years from when they started, just as I have, I'll admit it, since 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when we set out, I said, I'm going to fucking ruin the FBI, right? That was I make no bones about it. You're partisan. You fucking damn right I am. Life's too short not to be partisan. You got an axe to grind. But since this has been going on 2 years, I mean, sometimes I still have problems pronouncing medical terms. But I get it. So the folks listening here and myself and yourself, we've come light years ahead in 2 years where we started from. But if somebody isn't awake like that and they listen to that, they're not going to be able to make heads or tails of that. That guy's like, you might as well be talking another language. He's so out in outer space to the regular.
No, I like when he says that. He could talk honestly because he knows that it could be edited. Obviously, they didn't edit out the part.
They didn't edit out anything.
He's saying that he was hoping for a peaceful, civil, slow collapse. Okay, so we knew this from the beginning that they were using the vehicle under the umbrella of, you know, COVID. That was their vehicle. You know, the vaccine was their destination. But they used it. And you can find, I mean, this is only one little portion because we did discuss all of this a while back about, you know, the origins of, what was it? The Global 2000 report and then Club of Rome and world, you know, the timeline. I do believe Limits to Growth was the first in 72 because then World Economic Forum, I think, was 73. So you could just follow the timeline of where they're going with this. And we could even wrap it in. Okay, call me crazy. Many people might. But even if I'm not really following 100% what's happening with Ukraine. But there is something that most people do not talk about and nobody covers ever. And that's the Belt and Road Initiative.
It's a big thing.
Big thing. And do you also know that it's tied into the UN's green, sustainable development?
Yeah, the UN's got a hand in that with the Chinese with all this. And it's sickening. And the Chinese are going to do a little new Silk Road through Afghanistan and call it whatever they want to call it or label it what you just said.
This is massive. Big. I mean, it's massive. It's in the works. You know, they even have them on board with the UN sustainability goals.
Did you see that clip I played of Klaus Schwab kissing China's ass at the opening?
Yeah.
Of the world? I mean, that was fucking coming on pretty heavy, man. That's like, wait a minute.
Well, there's a reason for that.
What happened to human rights atrocities? It's not, problem. Nobody
matter.
Cares. It's like, nobody cares, man. There's money to be made here. Human rights. Dude, hey, man, you're so square, man. You're square. So, okay, I'm square.
Right. So if we look at the map of Belt and Road going through the Middle East, does it not go through the Ukraine, through Europe?
Well, it does. And here's the thing, too, for the folks out there who think that the Belt and Road has something to do with Jerry Nadler, it doesn't. And, you know, when I saw these cats pack up and leave Afghanistan in a huff, the U.S., I said, oh, fucking Biden. Belt and Road, he's in on it. He's bought and paid for. Because nobody leaves like that in the night, right? I mean, you leave like that if you owe the landlord 4 months' rent, 5 months' rent. And,
right.
And, you know, and it's like, you know what? We're going to get a truck. The landlord's not. When the landlord's sleeping or the super sleeping, we're out of here. I mean, you know, maybe that when you're young or something like that. But not military. And they didn't even care about the people that died in Afghanistan. People say the 13 servicemen and women, U.S., who died, and the media talks about that all the time. Well, what about the other 200 people who got blown up? That's the thing that always kills me about the media. It's very... we only care about Americans who died, really. A lot of little kids died. A lot of women died, right? I mean, that's what I look at. I look at, like, look, if you're a man and you're there, you take, like, a certain risk, right? But you wouldn't want to put your wives and your kids in danger and have them blown up at an airport, and then they don't even get the respect of being remembered by anybody in the media. They spin it as 13 people. It's like 190 people. It's a big difference from 13, right?
No, but see, you're bringing up things that, while everybody is distracted with so many other things, with, you know, 2 years of COVID and masks and resisting and all of that, these are all the things going on in the background.
Well,
that
it's funny
you'd
say that, because I wanted to make the point before I forget. So when I'm talking to these cats today, and we'll get back to Belt and Road because it's interesting, beyond interesting. And people should look it up, Belt and Road. And if a picture of Oprah comes up, it's not what we're talking about.
Jesus, Lord Almighty.
They drop in. I gotta get rid of them. You know, they drop into your head. We talked about today.
Go take your Ritalin. Go ahead.
See, if I had that stuff going, I'd forget about it.
Yeah, you'd be slow on the draw.
I wouldn't have any good one-liners. We talked about it today with these cats, and these guys are some slick guys. And the consensus is, and this isn't some, you know, breakneck intelligence finding or revelation, but there's no doubt the 1-2 punch this week of Ukraine and threats of war in Ukraine, and also the shit show that was manufactured in the White House with Supreme Court Justice Breyer, those are just distractions from what's really going from the other things that are going on. And one of the things that are going on is what we couldn't find a solution for if we were hired to spin. And when it gets to that point, COVID-19, it's fucking over. It's collapsing. So they need these things now. They need a war. We all know you can whip up a war anywhere, right? Wag the dog, right? Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, no, I remember that
war. We called Dustin Hoffman, and he's a producer. We need a war. And so they're going to have a war, whether they use it or not. I mean, whether there's really something that's going to happen or not, it's working. And then they're going to use this new distraction to carry into the midterms, just like the Young Bucks nailed it. They said, oh, okay, they're going to carry this into the midterm. Then Breyer comes out today and he says, oh, I'm going to finish my term. And, well, voila. And now the Democrats will say, well, if we want to keep the Supreme Court, you're going to have to. I don't think it's going to work. And the folks I talk to don't think it's going to work. There's such a groundswell. This place is a mess. This country's a mess.
No, well, we had our first 2 years war was against the invisible enemy. And now, you know, they'll come up with another war because everything is about the background of the transformation. Even Belt and Road falls into the transformation because they're also, it's all wrapped in with the green agenda, the climate, the sustainability, the ESG ratings, because you're even getting China, the biggest polluters in the world. You're going to get China on with a green agenda. And they are. They got China to sign on to the UN. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what year they had?
You can't walk in Beijing half the time because it looks like, you know, it looks like they turned the fog machines on when the strippers came out on stage. That's and a perpetual, strip joint.
I mean, just for the heck of it, search Belt and Road Initiative sustainability. You'll find it. That's why he was speaking at the World Economic Forum.
If you look at Belt and Road, right? If you look at the whole proposed Belt and Road Initiative, it goes through a lot of the places that are in play right now. Moscow, okay. It goes through there. The top part, of course, Beijing, and parts you said, it goes through different parts of the Middle East. It goes to. It's just crazy, right? And it goes all the way through Athens and Venice. And if they pull it off, right? And I think that over time.
And I think they're going to pull it off.
Well, Afghanistan was a big deal. And then India, right? You need to get a foothold there. And it's worth looking into. I have to look into it myself more. But I knew right away with that Afghanistan scheme. I said, oh, boy. Because that opens up the Persian Gulf or opens up a lot of things. You have the Mediterranean Sea, and then a lot of things are in play. Then once you get that, Europe's in play. And of course, they're going to be, I think, if you talk, the Chinese already own the South China Sea, so that's sewn up. So, the Asian part is somewhat easy compared to the parts we're talking about. And especially Afghanistan. And we just packed up and left. Like a bunch of hobos in the night. Here you go, China. Yeah. China. I said, China was in there like the next day. They sent plane loads of advisors with bags of money, I would imagine. And they started spreading it around and talking and cutting deals with these fine upstanding. I love how Washington paints these guys as politicians in Afghanistan. Oh, yeah, they've turned over a new leaf. Yeah, okay. What are they using, a different gun? Is that what's going on?
No.
But
listen, we always have to look at what is never being talked about.
So,
you know, and these are some of the things that the deeper you dive, like someone asked me, we were just in conversation about how these federal mandates are falling apart, but yet these private companies are still moving forward. And they were like, I don't understand it. Like, why are they doing that? And I'm like, okay, who owns the company? A government? Are there any private investors? Why are you asking me this? Is Vanguard and BlackRock a major stakeholder? Look at the private companies that are pushing this and look and see who the top three stakeholders are. And there's your answer as to why a lot of the private corporations are still moving forward with mandates. Because remember, if you have a private company, say Citigroup, and they're going to push it, and you have BlackRock as a major stakeholder, they're also a major stakeholder in Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson.
Everybody owns everybody.
Everybody owns everybody. I love it when people say they're going to boycott. What company are you boycotting? Okay. Who's their competitor? Now look at the stakeholders in both companies. It's the same stakeholder. They don't look at this. So they might look at who owns it or who's the CEO. Okay. No. Who's the major stakeholder? There's your answers. Who's the big wig at the World Economic Forum? Larry Fink.
Don't kid yourself. BlackRock is has
Vanguard and BlackRock are
they have all their sites set on China. I mean, it's
absolutely.
And so does Citigroup. Citigroup's moving into China. They're not even thinking twice about it. If you say, what about the atrocities? What'd you say? Atrocities? Who are you? Don't come back here again. You're fired. But when you look at what's going on, I just threw in to the search engine. What did I throw in? BlackRock, Fink, China, right? And a lot of stuff started popping in late fall about BlackRock's interest in China. And I think Fink came out, CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink came out and said a couple things that they're interested in China, et cetera. And that didn't sit well. Well, it doesn't mean that BlackRock's going to walk away.
Oh, no.
From forming close ties with and to the CCP. On the contrary, if he came out and said that, they already have close ties. They already have close ties. And so a lot of folks will come out and bash BlackRock and, you know, say, oh, for this and that. These guys are already setting this up. If you go out and you say you're going to do something at this level, it's already done.
It's already done.
It's already done.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going on. And, you know, I got a buddy, Morgan Stanley wants to move into China. More so, they have stuff. Citigroup is all in. They don't give a shit about anything because they smell money. And guess what? If they don't get there and get a foothold, well, then they're going to cede it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's how they see these things.
Right. And Citigroup is a partner with the World Economic Forum.
Absolutely. They're right. Bought and paid for through and through. Through. Right. It's funny. I was such a green-eyed dope when I was there. My first week when I was there, first fucking week, I was looking at stuff and I said, this is a problem. They had this big client out of D.C. First week, Maria, think about this. They're like, you know, here's your desk and this is going to be your administrative assistant and get to know some of the people. By the first week, I walk into the boss's office and say, we got a big fucking problem, man. And I said, you guys just approved this company 6 months ago. They're laundering money through the bank, a lot of money, and they're on criminal federal probation out of Miami. He's like, what? I said, yeah, I just talked to the U.S. attorney. He said he can't even believe they were able to get a bank account. I said, how the fuck did these people get a bank account, number one? Number two, they are moving and laundering a lot of money here. A lot of money. This is the first week. And the boss is like, Jesus Christ. And I said, so it's in your lap now. I'll put it all together. He sends it to New York. And they say, who the fuck found this? And he told, you know, he said, this guy, he's got a good background, certified fraud examiner, worked for the feds, worked his own shop. How long has he been with us? He said a week. What the fuck is going on down here? But they didn't want to do anything, Maria. They said, well, you know, if the feds come in, well, then we'll deal with it. I said, look, man, whatever. I'm covered. I'm not going to be a patsy, right? I'm covered. And then I have the U.S. attorney call me from Miami. This is no, like, joke. This is a U.S. attorney from Miami. This isn't the U.S. attorney from fucking wherever. You know, some podunk. District court. What are you going to do? What's going on? What can you share with me? You know, we want to go after these guys again if they're breaking the laws. These guys were real hungry. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't get into it, man. You got to call New York here. Call this guy. The guy was like being a dick to me in New York. So I gave his phone number to the U.S. attorney. They handed off to be a dick, you know, but yeah, it's crazy, man. They don't care. That's when I said I went into this, I was like green, right? I'm like, oh, you know, we can clean up stuff and we'll protect the company from getting in trouble. Fuck out of here.
They don't want it cleaned up. It's money running that they have their hands on.
Well, look who's it's Citi at the time. You look at the top office of Citi at the time. Who was in office? Well, Bush was in office when I started at Citi, but then Obama was in office. It's not that it matters. They're the same person. That's a crazy person.
Right.
And Robert Resch was there, you know, for the Clinton administration. He was like a top guy. I used to see him in New York. I mean, you can miss him. He's a little guy. I'm telling you, he's like 4 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it's like bring your kid to work day. No, it's fucking Robert Resch. Some people call him Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Labor under Clinton. And and so they had all these guys, all these revolving doors with the White House and D.C. If there's ever a problem, this company out of fucking Miami is laundering $150 million, $250 million a year. It's a phone call. That's all. Don't worry about it. It's like, what? What am I doing here?
And that's where you learn how the sausage is made.
That's when you learn. Yeah. It was crazy.
And they have their gatekeepers and that's how it all runs. Nothing, you know, think you're doing something good and no, just turn a blind eye.
So people out there are going to say, oh, this is hypocrisy by the American corporate giants and the banks. You know, they're woke. They're woke here about all the different issues, Black Lives Matter and everything. But when it comes to China, whether it's pollution or what are other big things in China, prison labor, child labor, right? Mm-hmm. And these hundreds of thousands of these Muslims living in captivity, basically slaves, right? That work in China. How can corporations turn a blind eye to that? People still don't get it. They don't fucking care. They don't care. These aren't humanitarian operations. And the ones that you think are humanitarian are usually a cutout that report back to these guys in some fashion through the American government. There are no good people out here. There are no heroes, is the point.
No. When you just look at how massive Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street. These are the power players. They own everything. So it's not, you can't just say, you know, this particular corporation and not look farther than the CEOs of who's running it. This is a global operation. China had no problem being the fall guy for this schemedemic. They had no problem. This is very well orchestrated. Those TikTok videos happened for a reason. That was the first war in this Great Reset, so to speak. But there's more to the Great Reset than the World Economic Forum, is what I'm trying to say. Belt and Road needs to be looked at seriously. And you and I both know we may not see that on Tucker Carlson for two more years.
Well, because Belt and Road only probably four more years on Tucker.
There you go.
They're talking about running him for the White House. That's interesting.
But this is what, you're not going to hear it anywhere. Nobody's going to dive deep into these things. Like nobody will ever point out that the first thing you should always look at is who's the stakeholder. Because when they have their hands in everything, and when I mean everything, in every pharmaceutical company, in every social media company. So when you think these people are competitors, they're not.
That's the illusion. You go back to 2020, right? Let's go back to 2020 when this thing was rolling. Summer of 2020, the scamdemic was in its heyday, and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink gives a speech in Shanghai where he says, hey, BlackRock is here to work with China. It remains one of our firm's top regions for growth, despite the uncertainties brought on by trade tensions with the U.S. And don't forget, this is amid the virus outbreak. and Fink said, hey, yeah, we know it's the most dangerous place on earth, but hey, we're ready to make some money. I mean, does that sound like a real pandemic? Mm-hmm. You know,
no.
If it was a real pandemic, no, say, look, BlackRock is reassessing its future plans in China until we can make sure that and ensure the safety of our partners and our employees. That is what you would say if it was a real pandemic.